Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, we spoke with Nisha Joseph, MD, and Hans Lee, MD, about the FDA's accelerated approval of linvoseltamab for the treatment of adult patients with relapsed or refractory multiple myeloma who have received four or more prior lines of therapy, including a proteasome inhibitor, an immunomodulatory agent, and an anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody. In our conversation, Drs. Lee and Joseph discussed the significance of this approval, key data from the pivotal Phase 1-2 LINKER-MM1 trial, and where linvoseltamab fits into the relapsed refractory myeloma treatment paradigm alongside other approved agents.
Thank you, Dr. Lee and Dr. Joseph. Today, we're talking about the recent FDA approval of the linvoseltamab for patients with relapsed refractory multiple myeloma. So I guess just to get us started off, what is the significance of this approval and how does it address a previously unmet need for this particular patient population?
Linvoseltamab is a BCMA bispecific T-cell antibody, and it was just FDA approved in early July of 2025. And so we'll get into some of the efficacy data later on, but it really provides a really highly effective off-the-shelf agent for the treatment of relapsed refractory multiple myeloma. The label is at least four prior lines of therapy and triple class exposed to patients exposed to a proteasome inhibitor, immunomodulatory drug, and anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody. And I think there are some characteristics of the drug that may differentiate linvoseltamab from other BCMA bispecific antibodies that will hopefully improve the access of this really highly effective drug compared to some of the other agents that are available. In particular, there's just a lower or decreased hospitalization requirement for linvoseltamab, particularly during the step-up dosing compared to some of the other agents historically. And so hopefully, ultimately, this will improve access to a highly effective therapy for our patients in this population.
Dr. Joseph, could you just briefly describe the kind of the design and overview of the LINKER-MM1 trial, which evaluated this agent?
That was a phase 2 study that looked at linvoseltamab as monotherapy at two different dose levels, both 50 milligrams and 200 milligrams. And what's unique about this drug is the step up, the ramp up is a little different than what we see with other bispecific antibodies. It's given weekly. So the patients got two ramp up doses at 5 and 25 milligrams and then full dose weekly for the first 14 weeks, then could go to every other week. And then at week 24, for patients who had achieved a good depth of the response, what we call a VGPR, very good partial response or better, there was the option to go to monthly dosing, which I think is another really unique thing about linvoseltamab, that it was studied in this way. You know, interestingly, that's really how, at least in my practice at Emory, we are practically giving a majority of these bispecifics anyway. So it's great to see that kind of proof of concept in a clinical trial, seeing that patients, not only I think that improves the tolerability of the drug, but we're seeing that efficacy, we don't lose that efficacy benefit. So I think that's really great that we can see that in the trial design.
What were some of the key efficacy data from LINKER-MM1 that helped support the FDA approval of linvoseltamab?
So in terms of efficacy, I'll focus on the 200 milligram cohort. As Dr. Joseph mentioned, there are actually two doses studied, 50 milligram, 200 milligrams. The 200 milligram dose is the FDA approved dose of linvoseltamab that's in the package label. And so basically in the 200 milligram cohort, 117 patients were dosed at the 200 milligram dose. The overall response rate, which was the primary endpoint of the study, was 71%. But I think what was really, really striking was the depth of response. So 52% of patients actually had a complete response or better. And of course, when we look at response rates, that's great, but also what's the durability of the responses. And so we've had longer and longer follow-up of this particular trial reported at recent meetings. And the last data cut of a median follow-up, approximately 21 months or so, the median progression-free survival had actually not been reached yet. And the median duration response was approximately 29 months. I think what was also very striking is that we saw very, very high response rates and historically very difficult to treat subsets or subgroups of relapsed refractory multiple myeloma patients. So these include patients with extramedullary disease, high risk cytogenetics, high subtle baseline BCMA levels. And overall response rate was actually over 50% in all these subsets of patients, which is really encouraging because historically, again, these have been very, very challenging patient populations to treat with our conventional therapies.
in terms of safety, what were, again, some of the key data from like your MM1 and just within clinical practice, just based on everything that you guys have experienced, you know, are there any patients you maybe would or would not recommend linvoseltamab for based on safety?
Yeah, I think in general, when I think about bispecific antibodies, I think about those initial toxicities during the step up phase and then kind of more long-term or late toxicities. And by that, I mean, when we're initially starting the drug and doing the ramp up, we worry about cytokine release syndrome, which for the most part is going to be fever and early grade one. And then, of course, ICANS, which is essentially neurotoxicity that in general, we don't see a very high rate of bispecific antibodies. And then kind of in the more long term, when you're continually dosing the patients, the things that we worry about are cytopenias, infections. So when we looked at linvoseltamab, I don't think anything certainly negatively standing out. The CRS rate was predominantly grade 1 and 2, was a little lower than what we saw with the other bispecific antibodies, which I think is also important kind of looking forward into operationalizing the drug and hopefully getting into the community. One nice thing that we've learned about bispecifics and ramp up is the use of prophylactic tocilizumab and how that can really lower the rate of CRS. And I know from speaking to community oncologists, that's sometimes a concern of kind of managing that initial CRS. So already we're starting at a lower rate. And I think particularly that the ramp up is weekly, that kind of lends itself to be an easier drug, hopefully for our community partners to ramp up. ICANS was relatively on par with what we saw, less than 7%. And a majority of that was early grade, not a lot of ICANS. And then I think outside of that, in terms of infections is what we think about long-term for bispecific antibodies, the grade 3-4 infection rate was a little lower than what we saw with some of the other BCMA bispecific antibodies. I think in general, when you're looking at those rates, particularly of high-grade infections in these early phase studies, I think something to keep in mind is we've learned a lot about how to mitigate and manage those infections in the clinic. So things like monthly IVIG and PJP prophylaxis has really dropped those infectious rates for all bispecific antibodies in general. So it's really not something I think of as a rate-limiting step. These are patients with relapsed refractory myeloma. They're at higher risk for infection. We're giving them a T-cell redirecting therapy. So we know what we're dealing with. There's going to be a risk of infection, but I think we've really learned how to reduce that risk for our patients.
And just to add, you know, as Dr. Joseph pointed out, you know, we can give bispecific antibodies just as a general drug class to really most of our patients, regardless of age. And I think one thing very interesting about the Linker MM1 study was that over a quarter of patients actually were over the age of 75. So I think this is a proof of concept that, again, age is really just a number. And I think this really does fit an unmet need, particularly in elderly patients, may not be candidates for CAR T therapies. This is an off-the-shelf therapy that's immediately available to patients where they're at. And so again, I think this is an unmet need that hopefully, you know, drugs like linvoseltamab will fit that niche.
Turning, you know, to the implications of this approval, you know, just based on now having this agent available, where do you see linvoseltamab fitting into the relapsed refractory multiple myeloma treatment paradigm, particularly in these later line settings, you know, where maybe CAR T hasn't been exhausted, there are other bispecifics, you know, how do you envision it fitting in for patients?
Right now, we're a little bit constrained with the label, which is, you know, at least 4 prior lines of therapy, triple class exposed, as I mentioned earlier. And so, you know, while there are other BCMA bispecific antibodies currently FDA approved in this context, as we've discussed, there are potentially advantages of using linvoseltamab in this patient population, again, including the relatively easier step-up dosing schedule requiring limited hospitalization, the sort of very aggressive rapid de-escalation, the frequency of dosing that was studied prospectively in the Linker MM1 study. So eventually at 6 months or 6 cycles, basically patients are on every 4-week dosing, which was again studied prospectively. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, I was struck by the response rates in the historically difficult to treat patient populations. And so again, if a patient has sort of advanced disease characteristics, high bone marrow apostatosis, extramedullary disease, high risk cytogenetics, I think this is potentially an area where I might lean towards linvoseltamab, given the strong efficacy data seen in these patient populations in the Linker MM1 study.
Yeah, I would completely agree. And I think the only thing I would add to that when thinking about, you know, a bispecific versus CAR T-cell therapy, in general, you know, the data in terms of sequencing looks better with CAR T-cell therapy before bispecific antibodies, but I think, you know, that's really a patient-specific conversation, particularly in that late line. And so what we see here with Linvo is a really effective therapy. And I just want to, you know, point out again, oftentimes with bispecifics versus CAR T-cell therapy, there's this concept of one and done. But that's not really the case. There's a lot more to it to get a patient through CAR T-cell therapy, just on the front end, on the back end. And so when we're thinking about linvoseltamab after that initial ramp-up period, that's a once-a-month visit. You know, even for an older patient who doesn't live close to the center, that can be quite feasible for patients, quite effective. And the toxicity, you know, overall, when we think about some of the toxicity risk up front with CAR T-cell therapy, is much less.
And I think one thing to add is, you know, linvoseltamab is being studied in other contexts of multiple myeloma beyond the LINKER-MM1 study. And so there is the ongoing LINKER-MM3 study. This is a randomized phase 3 study evaluating linvoseltamab versus elotuzumab, pomalidomide, and dexamethasone. This is the standard of care triplet that we utilize in relapsed refractory multiple myeloma. So this is the confirmatory study that would support the accelerated approval of linvoseltamab, again, just last month. And of course, we have the LINKER-MM4 study, which is studying linvoseltamab as monotherapy in newly diagnosed myeloma patients where they're transplant eligible and ineligible, and also linvoseltamab study in combination through the LINKER-MM2 study with standard of care myeloma therapy. So a lot to come, I think, with linvoseltamab as a drug. I think it's a drug that's going to be utilized across the myeloma disease spectrum as these studies mature.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave On Air. Check back throughout the week for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at Enclave. On Facebook, like us at Enclave, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave On Air.